Come on, give them a big God bless you tonight. Come on, give them a big God bless you. Let them know you're glad that he came.
Hallelujah. Let me take this opportunity to thank the pastor and mama pastor and the leadership of this church for the opportunity to be given to me to share the word of God with you. And I bring greetings from my country, Malawi. The people of Malawi are praying for us. I told them I was coming to Batavia today, and they are with us in prayer tonight. Amen. Now, without wasting much time, I want us to go straight to the word of God. Matthew chapter number 8. From verse number 5 through the 10th verse, and then we jump to verse number 13. Sorry for the many verses. The pastor already said I'm from Africa, so we read a little more verses. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I said to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel." In verse number 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you, for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question. How many of you believe that what Jesus did in the Bible days, he can do them today? I believe too. Jesus is the same. He has never changed. Times have changed. Things have changed. A lot of things are happening. But Jesus is the same. And what makes Jesus the same is that when we believe what the Bible tells us, he will do the same things he did when he was here in the bodily form. When he walked the roads of this earth and met people and loved people and healed them, the same things he did, he can do them to you tonight. He can do them to you tonight. Amen. The Bible tells us there was a centurion. This man was a commander in the Roman army. And from what I read in scripture, this man believed in Jesus. He believed in the working power of Jesus. I'm sure there was some connection with Jesus because he had so much faith in Jesus Christ. And this centurion had a servant who was very sick. In fact, the servant was paralyzed. And then he knew only Jesus could work a miracle in the life of a servant. So he came to where Jesus was and asked Jesus to come home and heal the servant. And we all know, wherever Jesus went, he did good, the Bible says. Acts 10, verse number is it 20? How God anointed, verse number 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all of those that were oppressed of the devil. All those that were sick, when Jesus found them, he healed them. Why? He was anointed of God. So he was ever ready. Whenever there was need, he wanted to meet the need. I get amazed as I read the scriptures. Sometimes Jesus would be with the people on the mountain for 3 days. There's no Wegmans there. There are no market, no groceries. And he was so confident that people needed to eat there, all of those people. 4,000, 5,000. And he told the disciples, you need to give them food to eat before they go back. The disciples said, Jesus, where do we find food to give to all those people? We have no money. Even if we had money, there are no groceries around. There are no shopping places. Jesus said they need to eat. He had no sense of lack. He had no sense of failure. He could do anything at any time, anywhere. He was always willing to do good. And when you look at the ministry of Jesus, it was a ministry of love. He came to show the whole love of God to mankind. He loved people. He just loved people. He loved even the unlovable. He loved people that religiously you were not supposed to love. He loved them. He didn't only love them, but he touched them. He fellowshipped with them. In Jesus' time, nobody wanted to be close to the tax collectors. They were bad people. But Jesus went to them. He showed love to them until they felt pulled to come into the kingdom of God. They accepted Jesus and he accepted them. And he said, tonight we're going to your house to eat. Look at the love Jesus had. We're going to your house to eat tonight. Until the scribes and the Pharisees began to murmur. They murmured at the love and the lifestyle that Jesus lived towards sinners. He was so different. He was ever willing to embrace somebody and show them love. He was always willing to heal. Last Sunday I talked about a leper. You know, when we talk about lepers today in the Bible, it looks very light and simple. But in those days, if you were a leper, nobody associated with you. You were to be put outside of town. Outside. Lest you defile the people. And there comes a leper with his licking wounds. Jesus sees that man. And that man comes to the Lord and says, Lord, if you are willing, please heal me. Jesus was not only willing to heal him, but the Bible says he reached out and touched him in those wounds. And those wounds dried up. The man got healed. The leper became clean. That's the Jesus I am talking about. Hallelujah. That's the Jesus I am talking about. He has not changed. And if only you can dare believe him, things will begin to change for you. I want to talk about faith that works. Faith that works. Faith that can pull God your way. Faith that can make things happen for you. Faith that can let God's power flow through you and you experience a miracle. He's a miracle worker. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of wonders. Hallelujah. He's a God of wonders, and his miracles did not go to heaven with him. When the Holy Spirit came and empowered the church, the miracles of Jesus are still happening today. He's changing lives, he's forgiving sinners, he's healing people and restoring people back to God. Nothing has changed. And I want the church to begin to believe God for the supernatural in your life. Begin to believe him. Amen. begin to believe God for the supernatural. They're still happening today. And when I look at all of you, if Jesus were the preacher tonight, he was going to love all of you. He was going to carry every burden here of anyone that dared believe in him. So this centurion says, Lord, my servant is paralyzed home and is vexed badly. He's dying. Would you come and heal him? Just said, okay, I will come. I will come could be maybe tomorrow morning after my service today. I will come might mean this week I'm going to heal your servant. I will come might mean this month your servant will be healed. I will come and heal him. I am willing. I will come and heal him. And the Bible says this man changed his mind. He reformed his request. He said, Lord, excuse me. I am a man under authority. I am under authority and I've got soldiers under me. I know what authority, what being authority means. I've commanded some soldiers, go there, and they've gone without question. I've got some and they've come without resistance. Come here, they come. Go there, they go. I've told my very servants, do this and they do it. He said, Lord, would you please do the same? I believe in you. I believe in your word. Whatever you say carries dynamic power. Whatever you say, Lord Jesus, can heal my servant even if you're not there in the body. You're not physically there. My servant will be healed. And I'm willing, whatever you tell me over my servant, I'll take that word and carry it to him and tell him to be healed, to rise up and walk. Why? Because Jesus has spoken. You see, if you only have faith and act nothing and never take him at his word, you might die in your problem. You might die in your situation. If you only say, I believe God is there, I believe God is able, and you act nothing, you might die in your situation. Let's look at this man. He says, just only speak your word. Speak the word, and my servant shall live. That was faith at its best. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This word can produce faith in you for your miracle. This word of God is alive. Just like you breathing tonight, the word of God is breathing too. It's alive. Sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces and goes to the dividing point of your marrow and the bones. It goes and descends the intents of the heart of man. The word of God. It is the power of God. It is powerful. When you believe it, you cannot sink. When you believe it, you cannot lose. When you believe it, you come out an overcomer. When you believe the word of God, you are like a wise builder that built a house on a rock. Demons may attack you. Witches may attack you. Evils may attack you, but they will not prevail against you. Because the word of God is a solid foundation. Psalms 107 verse 20, the Bible says, he sent his word and his word healed them. This word is good. This word has shaped lives, has changed people. People that were going to hell and going a wrong way, that didn't care about anybody and for anybody, when they get in contact with the word of God, things change. It's a miracle producing word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a miracle producing word of God. It carried my salvation before I got saved. When I believed the gospel, my life changed. I'm telling you, you're looking at a changed man. And those of you that are born again, you can agree with me. The day and the time you believed the gospel, things happened in your life. The gospel pulled you out of the bar, pulled you out of evil groups, pulled you from all the evils of this world. Your conscience became alive towards God. It carries salvation. It is powerful. You believe it, things will happen. The centurion says, Lord, if only you can speak a word. If only you can speak a word, my servant shall live. He's not here, but a miracle will happen. Word. The word of God produces faith that works. Not only that, the word of God carries deliverance. It carries healing for your physical body. I'm a believer in the miraculosity of God. God can heal you. A few months ago, I was in Israel. I never thought I'd go to Israel, but I went to Israel because when I came last year, there was a man that was dying of cancer in some church in Rochester. And that it was in an evening service like this one. I preached from Mark 16, 15, 17, 18, where Jesus said, go ye preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And I'm a believer. There were believers. I said, if you can believe God tonight, he can meet your need. And little did I know, this man was about to say bye-bye to his family. I prayed like I normally pray for people. And he went to the doctor in the week. And before weekend, he came up with a report. The doctor said, I cannot trace your cancer. The man got healed. I went back to the church. When I preached, he grabbed my microphone. He said, I've got a testimony. All people knew him. He said, you know, I was dying of cancer. But when the preacher prayed for me, that day, my cancer is gone. My cancer is gone. And I'm saying this to the glory of God. His word is powerful. He's a healer. He's our deliverer. If he healed other people, he can heal you too. He can set you free. He can deliver you. He can change your situation. If you believe it, say amen. Say amen. Hey, your amen looks a little crippled. If we were in Africa, people shout amen to knock the devil off their shoulders. But I understand I'm in America, where people don't shout too much. Sometimes you just nod your heads. It's okay. But what I'm telling you is, this man said, if only you can speak a word, my servant shall live. Just a word. Just a word. Now, if Jesus were here, some of you are sick. Wouldn't you want to join this man and say, Jesus, just speak a word? Without anybody touching you, just a word. And I want to speak a word to you. I may not have time to lay hands on you, but the Bible says to you, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah! We are healed. Brothers and sisters, God means what he says. When he says you are healed, you are healed. Jesus carried your disease. He carried your sin. He carried your pain to give you healing, forgiveness, deliverance, protection.
If you carry your problem, it's your problem. It's your own problem. As far as God is concerned, you can join the centurion. Just speak the word, my servant shall be healed. Just speak a word, my body shall be healed. Just speak a word, my baby shall be healed. Just speak a word, my family shall be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Just speak a word. Did you notice that in the word of God, all the people Jesus healed, most of them, he told them, do something if you believe in me. If you believe in my word, make an action of faith in the word of God. One day Jesus found a blind man. He spat on the ground, took the spittle, and smeared in his eyes. The man was blind. He needed Jesus' compassion. But there's a way God works. There's a way miracles come. He said, now, I did this. I anointed your eyes. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash your face. At first, I was one of the people that misunderstood the ministry of Jesus. I expected Jesus to put his arm around that blind man. You cannot see. All right, I'm Jesus, full of compassion. Hold my hand. Let me take you to the pool of Siloam. That man would have used the faith of Jesus if Jesus did that. But he wanted this man to use his faith to obey the word of Jesus. Go alone to the pool of Siloam. The man went gloping to the pool of Siloam. When he got there and washed his face, he came out seeing. Faith that works. Faith that works. You know, excuse me for saying this. I'm not being judgmental. But I found some funny kind of Christianity in America. Somebody says, I'm born again Christian, but they still sleep around and they say, you know, God will deliver me some other way and I'll become right. A year comes, a year goes, they live the same way. It creates chills, goosebumps on my skin. Somebody still, I have no problems with you people drinking, I love you, but when you come to Jesus, make a step of faith. Show the world I'm now born again. I cannot live this way. I've got to live this way. I cannot go to these places. I've got to be found in this place, which is church, where worship is done, where the true word of God is preached. Show the devil I've transferred from your kingdom into the kingdom of God. If you want deliverance to your life, make a step of faith. No more the previous life. No more wrong friends. No more in the pub. No more. I'll never hold another cigarette in my hands. I tell you, if you drop cigarette, no matter how the devil tried to pull you back, you can never die if you are able to take a hamburger and a bottle of water. You can never die because of smoke. Take a step of faith. Take a step. Live differently. When the door to the church opens on Sunday, be standing by the door. Why are you standing here? I've taken a step towards my salvation. Take a step. That's where you see and experience the miracle power of God. You cannot have one leg in, one leg out, and say, well, God knows when we get there. No, no, no. God wants you. Go alone to the pool of Siloam and wash your own face. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. There's no Bible for United States and there's no another Bible for Africa. It's the same word of God. We need to live by it. Let be our righteousness standard. It's one heaven and one hell. That's why I seem to be hard on you tonight. Make a step of faith. Draw the line in the sand. I can never do this again. I'm born again. I belong to City Church. I'm a member. Let the pastor count on you. When he thinks of his members, let him know you'll be there. Let him know you will be there. You can't be a mediocre. You can't be half-half, 50-50. No way. Give your life to Jesus 100%. That's what I believe. Jesus was so serious about man's salvation. That's why some people came to him and said, Lord, I want to follow you, but I just got married. We'll be on a honeymoon for a few days and I'll come back. Jesus said, my friend, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Another one came. My father just died. Let me go bury my father and come back. Jesus still said no to that kind of a person. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Sometimes if Jesus were the pastor in this world, most of us would not be in his church. He wanted an action of faith. You needed to show the devil, I'm out of your hands. I'm now a child of God. Whatever it takes. Some people say, I don't want to be a very serious Christian because Jesus demands too much. He interferes with my life. I stand here today, tonight. Yes, you need Jesus to interfere with your life if you want to make heaven. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Make a step of faith. Make a step. A step. A step of faith. Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda. He finds this man 38 years. He cannot even crawl to the pool once the pool was teared. Jesus walks there and says, man, do you want to be healed? That man looked at Jesus as crazy. How can he ask me that question? He sees my condition. Jesus was not trying to tease him. He wanted to stimulate a faith that works. A faith that works. That could take him out of that place forever. He started explaining, no, you know, when water is tired, nobody can come and lift me up into the water. Jesus said, I say to you, the same word. I say to you, rise up, pick up your mats, and go home. He doesn't say, okay, let me help you. Rise up slowly, and let's see what happens. He says, rise up, pick up your beds, and go home. The man believes, and the power of God flows through his body. He rises up. He picks up his beds and walks home. That is faith that works. If you want Jesus to save your life and change your life, rise up, come to him. Openly. Give your life to him. If you want him to heal you, rise up, pick up your bed, and walk. Before I came to the United States this time, I had my last two crusades. I'll talk of the latest one before I left. And I'm saying this to the glory of God. We had a big crowd of people. I remember preaching on where Jesus healed the sick, who tore the roof up. And I mean, four people tore the roof and lowered their paralytic before Jesus. When I talked about how Jesus taught the man rise up and walk, I said that's the pattern in the kingdom of God. You've got to make a step of faith. And meanwhile, they brought a man, 28, 30 years of age. He was right in front of my truck. I stand on top of the truck as my platform when in a crusade. That young man could not stand up for 1 minute. He would collapse. He had a spinal problem. But he had me speak the same word. I said, if Jesus were here and taught you the sick people, rise up, pick up your bags and walk, Jesus himself, what would be your reaction? They all said, we would rise up and walk. I said, okay. I said, that Jesus is wrapped up in his word. And I'm just a speaker, a microphone, if you like. I said, you must do what you have not done before. You must rise up and walk too. After praying for those that gave their life to Christ, I prayed for the sick. There were so many demon manifestations. That young man stood up. I said, walk now, according to the word of God. He walked about 5 meters, came back, walked back. I said, how do you feel? He said, all my pain. He had excruciating pain in his back. All the pain died. He went home thinking maybe the devil would return. Few days later, he walked 25 kilometers. Here you go by miles, there we go by kilometers. 25 kilometers to where I live. He came to say, thank you for bringing us the gospel. My disease is completely gone. He did come by transport, public transport. He walked 25 kilometers. A person that could not stand for 1 minute. Is that not a miracle? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. You may not be lame. You may not be in a wheelchair. You may have your own situation. I want you to change your mindset. Begin to see your miracle. Begin to see the power of God at work in your life. Begin to see your deliverance and your freedom. I speak it in your life today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I speak it into your situation. Some of you are in a dark room. The devil has so much put you in a corner. You don't know what to do. I know what to do. And there's somebody who knows what he can do for you. His name is Jesus. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your faith in Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. Last Sunday I was preaching in Daddy's church in Churchville. There came a woman with a walker, heavy woman. She couldn't walk without it. After we prayed, the Spirit of God came on her powerfully. She started laughing in the Spirit. We rebuked the spirit of infirmity in her. I said, Mama, you can't keep holding on to this. Have you ever walked without it? She said, oh, she only walked with it. I said, put it aside. Walk in Jesus' name. She started with a little bit of a struggle. As she went, her legs were freer and freer and freer. Eventually, she started to jump. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jesus is alive. He did not only die on the cross, but he rose from the dead. He is alive today. He's where you are. He knows your name, he knows your situation, and he knows what to do for you. He's an answer. He's an answer to your dilemma. Trust him. Believe the gospel. Sometimes the devil may want to kill you before your time. When you let Jesus involved, he will command the devil out of your way. And you live your life to the fullness. The devil is a liar. Satan is a liar. All of you are precious people of God. Jesus stopped because of one man that expressed his faith in his word. He stopped. He said, I said, I will heal your servant, but I can't put will anymore. I can't push it into any future because you've believed. He turned to the people around, the crowd that was following him. He said, I've been in Israel, I've gone everywhere. I haven't found faith big as this man's faith. Why big faith? He believed in the word of God. He said, sir, be it unto you according to your faith. That same moment, the miracle touched the servant and the paralysis was gone. That moment. Smith Wigglesworth, the man that was called the apostle of faith, used to say, there could be 10 people here listening to the same word of God. If 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 don't take God at his word and the number 10th takes him at his word, God is willing to fly over those people to touch the number 10. Without faith, we cannot please God. By faith, we believe that the heavens and the earth were formed by the word of God. By faith. By faith, I believe souls shall be saved and shall be found in heaven. By faith, I believe in our last days, revival is coming that is going to begin to move through the cities. That is going to begin to touch lives. And when revival falls, signs and wonders are inevitable. They are there. Tumors disappear. The dead come back to life. The demon possessed are delivered. People under a spell, under a curse, the curses are broken. Revival is coming in these last days. Finally, before I can sit down, church, I said we need a new mindset. We need to look at circumstances through the word of God. It's our victory. It's our guidepost. It's our answer. Today, in the world, including your country, everybody's talking about terrible things that are going to happen. Oh, this is going to happen. That is going to happen. Looks like this is going to happen. The world is crying. The church is crying. The world is speaking negatively of America. And the church has joined, fallen suit, talking bad of the country. I have a different idea about America. And God has to bless America. God has to bless his people in America. No matter what evils the devil is unleashing against this country, I tell you, change your mindset. God has used America to give aid to all over the world, and he cannot forget America now. Change your mindset. Change your confession. Change what you believe. America has sent missionaries all over the world more than any other country. Built churches on our continent and all over the world. America has generously given to the world. So don't be distracted by the evil the devil is trying to show us. The devil likes publicity. But God is a God of action. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Don't lose heart. America, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. There is a God in heaven. There is a God. When evil increases, the grace of God abounds even more. I bless this country. I bless the people of this country. I pray for revival in this country. I pray for another visitation of God in this country. I pray that men and women of God shall rise up in this country with such fire, with such power, with such anointing, with such miracles. Don't lose heart. The Holy Ghost is here. The blood of Jesus is here. The word of God is here. And God's servants are here. Don't lose heart. Oh, I feel it. I feel it in the atmosphere. There is something coming for you. And thank you for coming to the evening service tonight. There is something for you. God wanted you to hear this. Become the hope of this nation. Carry the flag of heaven. The flag of victory. When people are speaking negative, tell them, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thus says the Lord. Take what I'm telling you. Don't listen to preachers that are always condemning the country. Hear me well. I just read the word of God to you. God says, if my people, God by my name, shall humble themselves when we come down and before God and pray and repent and turn away from our wicked ways, God has promised to hearken to our prayer, to forgive our sin, to heal our land, to heal our economy. Are you hearing me? Is the situation too bad that we can disqualify the word of God? No. No. God is God. One day in Samaria, the prophet, when there was terrible famine and people were eating each other, they were eating their children, the prophet from nowhere stands up and says, tomorrow, food shall be sold for very cheap. A lot of food tomorrow. One man said, laughed, and said, even if God opened windows in heaven, today the situation is so negative, and you're telling us tomorrow things will change? I don't think so. He said, well, I have a word for you. You will be there tomorrow, but you're not partake of what God is going to do. That man lived up to tomorrow. Food came miraculously. And as people were going to buy food, that man fell and they trampled on him and he died. And people ate and had plenty of food. So don't be like that man. Why don't you believe God? The next moment is a moment of your miracle. Next week is a week of your miracle. Next month, next year, this year, whatever time, God can do anything. Believe Him. Oh, believe Him. Even when it doesn't make sense, believe Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Somebody stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number one, maybe you're there. You've never made peace with God. You've never separated yourself from the world. You are still following the world. In your life, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He's calling you. He wants to show you His goodness and His kindness and His love. Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you're that person, you want Jesus to come into your heart. Seriously. Radically. You want to follow Him. Even if everybody's going the other way, I'll go with Jesus alone the other way. If you're that person, may you slip up your hand where you are. I would like to pray with you. I would like to pray with you because this word is breathing life into you. Change for your life. Tonight is your night. You must carry the old rugged cross, the old religion of Jesus. You need the marks of Christ on your life. Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else that says, preacher, I also want to be part of this. I want to follow Jesus with all my heart. Did you see how lifted my hand is? Can you join me? I want, if you're serious, just go straight above your head. Thank you. If you were once in good standing but you're backslidden, I want to ask you to join those people. Because your life and your Christianity doesn't wind up in the city church. It winds up in heaven. Here is just a place of preparation before we get to our eternal destination. So we're going to heaven. I want to make a step of faith. Come to those to your Siloam of salvation. Walk and stand in front of me. Can you leave your seat, you people with your hands up? Stand in front of me. I would like to pray with you. Come. Come. If your hand was lifted and you know you need to make peace with God, you want Jesus to be the savior of your life. If you're a backslider and you say, no, I want to come back to Jesus, on a serious note, you may join them as well. God bless you. Over one soul that turns to God, there's great rejoicing in heaven. I want to ask for those people that are sick in your bodies and you have believed the word of God. I speak a healing virtue from Jesus into your body. If you can make a step of faith, come and stand behind them. Whatever your situation is, Jesus is able. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you people, precious people, call on the name of Jesus. Let us pray. Follow after me in this prayer. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for me. You died on the cross to carry all my sins. You died on the cross to carry my burdens, my miseries. And tonight, I open my heart to you and invite you into my heart. As Lord and the Savior of my life, I thank you for saving me and for forgiving me in the name of Jesus. Sick people, put your hand where you suffer, where your pain is, where your problem is. Your spine. Okay, just put it on your heart. Put your hand on your heart. As a point of contact. But you know, when I pray, when I finish praying, Jesus will have healed you. Begin to thank him. Sometimes even before you feel every pain is gone, begin to thank him and tell the devil, you will not catch me again. I am healed. That is faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for carrying our pains, our torments on the body of Jesus. The Bible says, by his wounds, I was healed. And Lord, I thank you for your people standing in front of me who have pain in their bodies. Right now, I take authority against every sickness. Every demon is carrying that pain in your body. I command it to leave right now. Satan, your power was broken 2,000 years ago. And I command you to leave these legs. Leave this back. Leave this head. Leave their bodies in the name of Jesus. Whatever you are, in Jesus' name, I rebuke. rebuke you. I command you to go and leave them right now. Father, I pray that your healing power will now flow through their bodies. Flow through their bodies. In the name of Jesus, let it kill every disease. Let your power destroy every pain. Right now, in Jesus' name, receive your healing now. Thank you, Lord. Now, you people, thank God for what He has done for you. Just thank Him for your healing. Thank you for your healing. Just thank Him for your healing. It is done. Sister, thank Him. It is done. Thank Him for your healing. In Jesus' name. You said your legs were paining, your back was paining. Can you just exercise yourself? Because God is doing something in your body. Thank you, Lord. Are you feeling okay now? You are getting better?
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 And I want to decree and speak it into existence. All of you that came sick, you are healed in Jesus' name. And all of you that came to Jesus, your names are in the book of life. God bless you. Amen.
Before I let Brother Samuel go, Lenny came down and reminded me, and it's been on my heart all week. On Sunday, Danny Gokey's wife, Leah Sett, very strong intercessor. She told me afterwards that we need to pray against cancer. And Lenny reminded me tonight of that, and it's been on my heart all day about that. And it was just a confirmation when Lenny came down and told me that. I want to remember Sterling tonight as one. There's several. I don't want to. It's personal. I want Bishop Samuel, just I want you to pray and curse that evil cancer in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the name that is our life, the name that is our healer, the name that is our good health. Lord, I take authority against the spirit of cancer in this church, in the lives of the beloved in this church. In Jesus' name, you demon of cancer, I command you to die in anybody that is carrying you in their bodies. I command you to die. I command you to come out. I curse you to the root. You have no power. You cannot kill them. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I release your healing virtue by the fire of the Holy Spirit to get into everybody that is suffering from cancer. Those that are here and those that are at home. Those in the hospitals from this church. Lord, may they experience your miracle power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus tonight. Powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Just lift up your hands all over the house tonight. Thank you, God. Can you just begin to say thank you? Thank you, Lord. Come on, do it. Open up your mouth. Verbalize it. God, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you. We take that step, God, to believe you and to trust you. Come on tonight with your mouth. Begin to say it. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We thank you, God. We trust you. Lord, our lives are yours, God. God, our lives are yours, Lord. We submit who we are to you tonight, God. Our lives, our families, those who we're related to, God. We give you all, Lord. Have your way. We will not leave here and live and just allow what has had dominion in our lives to continue. But Lord, tonight we trust you. We take that step and believe you for great and mighty things, God. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for our servant who is here tonight. Bless his life. Protect him, God. Keep him strong. Meet the desires and the needs in his life as well, I pray. I pray for my brother in Churchville, Pastor David, tonight. I pray, God, that you would pour out of your Spirit upon that house and even in that whole community in Churchville, God. Lord, I ask you, God, that you'll give him another breath of wind from heaven, God, that you will strengthen him, God. Lord, from the top of his head down to his feet, Lord, he will run. He will not be weary, and you will protect him, God. Lord, you will be the glory and the lifter of his head, God, and no evil shall come nigh his dwelling place, God, and you will perfect that which concerns him, God, tonight. I thank you, God, for the miracle that you are doing, even in many lives as I speak right now, God. Lord, I sense, God, that you are doing something, even in lives, even right now, as we're closing tonight, God. Lord, we don't have to leave it here, but Lord, I pray that we will take your Holy Spirit with us and allow him to control us. Everyone say that. Say, Holy Spirit. Come on, everyone. Say, Holy Spirit, control my life. Say it again. Holy Spirit, control my life. I step towards you in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said amen tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, if you can, before you leave, just tell Bishop Samuel, thank you for coming. I love you going his grace tonight. We're going to have a great rest of the week. Tell somebody God's with them before you leave tonight. Amen. Make sure you meet Pastor Dave, too. Wonderful man of God. I love you. Bless you.